Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our New Testament reading comes from Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 12. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And in this reading today, we are learning more, just as we did last week, about the divisions between Jews and Gentiles that have been bridged through Jesus. Because of Christ, both groups are reconciled to God. All Christians are being built into a holy temple and a dwelling place for God. And today we realize this in a world that is constantly trying to divide us. Hear now from the scripture, Holy Scriptures according to Ephesians. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace with Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from two groups. Together, as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward one another was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family, and together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you as we seek what it means to be one in Christ. Amen. So I entitled this sermon, Does the World Need Jesus? You know, we can't find the cornerstone of the United States Capitol. Did you know that? Can't find it. There was a great dedication ceremony in the early 19th century when construction of the Capitol began. And over the years, the cornerstone began to sink, covered by gathering debris of ages. And now it can't be located. They had a commission for a while that charged with digging here and there to try to see if they could find it. You see, the cornerstone represents the history and dedication of the building, a sign and symbol of its purpose. And we must not lose sight of the cornerstones in buildings like that. And we must not lose sight of the cornerstone that we read in the text today, that talks about Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our faith, because it helps us to know why we're here. So take that as a parable this morning for the text. It seems as though we are living in very tumultuous times, and we need to be grounded in the cornerstone of our faith. That is Jesus Christ. Now more than ever, in a cancel culture that we seem to be living in. We need to know who we are as one people created by one God who dearly loves us. Again, I read verses 19 to 22, this time in the NRSV version. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. You are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Can you imagine what these words meant to those who first heard it? Those Gentiles who had no part in the promises of God to Israel. When I was young in a church youth group, when I grew up, I remember the question was often, will the Jews be saved? Now that question is not really a biblical New Testament question. Romans 11:29 makes it clear, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. God has made a promise to preserve and to love Israel, and God keeps God's promises. Instead, the New Testament question is, will the Gentiles be saved? Well, what about those who don't have the scripture, who've never even seen a Bible, who know nothing of the words of the prophets, the promises of God to Israel? What about them? Well, that's why we have missionaries. We go into these places to help them understand who this God of love is. But what about us? Ephesians 1 that we read last week made it clear who weren't in the family have obtained an inheritance. We weren't in the will, Gentiles as we are, but when we receive Christ, now we're heirs of a fortune. By the seal of the Holy Spirit, we are marked as God's own people. We are God's own. This is where the work begins, and this is where we need to roll up our sleeves and stand strong as a family of God in the culture that we live in. Well, let's move on to chapter 2. Paul says, and I will repeat, remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You were far off. Now we're close. The wall is down. Which brings us to the scripture that is our word for today. The writer uses an architectural metaphor. Note that the verbs are passive. He doesn't say, you decided to join the church. Church membership has nothing to do with it. The writer says, you were built. You were joined together. You were built together spiritually. Your relationship to this new universal family is not something you do. It's something done to you called grace. Note that the passage begins with a lot of political talk. Talk of aliens, citizens, institutional laws, all this divisive talk. And these people have exchanged their citizenship from one country, if you will, for that of a new country, one of unconditional love and grace and oneness. If you thought that being a Christian is something that comes naturally, the natural thing, normal human thing to do, well, we can think again. Nobody comes in here by birth through the human body. You are baptized by the Holy Spirit. That's the birth when you receive Christ. You then are adopted, transferred into, built into this household when you made a decision to follow Jesus. I know that Right there, that seems to be very strange to us. It is a mystery how this works. That's what the scripture reads. You know, my parents never worried about whether I would grow up as a Christian. They brought me to church every Sunday. It was a natural, normal thing to be a Christian. I woke up a few years ago and realized whether my parents were justified in believing that. No one believes that really today. The world in which Christianity was normal and natural has ended. And that, my friend, should cause an extreme alarm in you. You see, children are not taught to have faith in Christ and to follow the values that God gives us. But they are taught to trust the system. The schools and the other systems steer our children, not the family of God and not their own families. If you don't believe it, just look around. Not only here, I've looked around in many churches. Where are the children? Where are their parents? I should start with that. Being Christian is no longer the normal, natural thing to be. In fact, there's a push against it in many schools, in many institutions. Seems these days both our children along with their parents spend an inordinate amount of time each week seeking information in front of a screen. It's estimated that up to 30 hours a week. They may be in church, maybe a maximum of an hour a week or so. When watching television, texting, posting, posing for selfies and more, they are bombarded with images of success. Images that are maybe even against what we believe as Christians. Of what the good life is. Of the goal of humanity and the culture that may be at great variance with how the Christian faith defines these matters. To make matters more challenging, they are going to schools now that indoctrinate their minds to hate their parents' values, their country, and even God. If you don't believe me, this week I saw the state core curriculum for teaching about sexuality all before third grade. We're talking about 5, 6, 7-year-olds. Things that shocked me. I don't believe children should know even at that age. Now, I'm not against teaching about, you know, body parts and whatnot, but what was there is I'm not going to get into it right here. Don't want to know. Never before has the church and its teachings, witness, worship, and the work become more important. How else will we bring a different way of living that counters the culture? You see, I've said it before, that it is not the culture that speaks to the church, but it's the other way around. It's the church that speaks to the culture. Counters this cancel culture that seems to be drowning us. I find among us a new awareness that our children will not necessarily grow up into the values that we practice in our faith. In fact, we know this today. Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." You know, parents have the greatest impact with this. 50.5% of children come to know Christ because of parents and family. The best way to bring children to is to impact, you see, the parents. And that is who we must reach today. Years ago, a Catholic theologian spoke of anonymous Christians, people who were good and sincere people, but who did not formally embrace the Christian faith. They were sort of Christians at large, anonymous Christians, even though they didn't know that that was who they were. They may have been good people, but they didn't really necessarily follow the values of the faith. To be a Christian, you see, is someone who self-consciously follows or is at least attempting to follow the way of Christ, the ways of love, the ways of gratitude and grace. Someone who is attempting to let the story of Christ form and guide his or her own story, his or her own inner life, and therefore affecting the outer life. A church without boundaries, without borders, without distinctive marks is hardly a church. My friends, we easily slipped into this in 2020. We were told to shut it down. We can just go online and preach Jesus in Zoom rooms. After all, isn't the Spirit everywhere? Well, yes. At first that sounded okay to me, although I had questions and I had concerns. The Barna studies showed otherwise. In the beginning of the online presence, it was flooded with viewers. What else was there to do? We were locked down, right? Told to limit going outside, mask up, and don't go to work. So we cleaned the house. I did, 500 times. We caught up on projects. And, oh, okay, maybe we'd jump on an online church. And, oh, it didn't have to necessarily be my church or church I used to go to. It could be any church now, right? Oh, and then after that, we even had time to go outside for a family walk in nature, standing 6 feet apart from our next door neighbor. Your pastors across the nation, of which this one was one, scrambled to figure out how to get Jesus into the world of fear. That's what we were trying to do. And at first, like I said, it was flooded. But then it began to drop off. People stopped watching. People began asking, well, when are we actually going to reopen? To saying, I'm not coming back. To now people saying, I like having a choice. Now we're hearing that 41% of the Black community prefers a hybrid model. And somehow we all got on board with that. We're doing it right now. And that's okay. It's okay. All good. But today's scripture from Ephesians gives us a reminder. It speaks of comparing the church to a building, a house, a place, having a foundation and a cornerstone. Now, it could be a building like this, but this metaphor reaches beyond the walls of this church. So why is this important? Perhaps there was a time when it was enough in our culture to merely be sincere, to be just good people, to have a warm feeling in your heart at the mention of religion, to try to do your best that you could in life in a wholesome sort of way. But now things have changed. We are beginning to feel, as North American Christians, like aliens, like missionaries in a very society that we thought we had created. One nation under God. We can no longer think that having a warm feeling is enough. Again, I ask, where are the parents? Where are the children? And now I believe that God is taking us up a notch, taking us up to a higher way of being, to a plan for us, to God's plan for us that has always been there. Our church doors are open to praise and worship God every Sunday as we are right now. But the gospel ministry of Jesus Christ is indeed out there in the world. We must understand as we are out in the world that the church has a foundation of apostolic ministry and the cornerstone, which is Jesus. So we do have boundaries about the way we operate in the world. Which brings me to a Facebook post that I read this week. Someone who is seminary trained, and this person posted an article that and actually agreed with it. The article basically said this: Does the world need Jesus? And answered by saying, no, only Christians need Jesus. I'm going to be honest with you. My first reaction was to close my Facebook account. I just couldn't believe how many thumbs up that got. But after I calmed down, the first thing that came to my mind was, where is John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Where is Matthew 28:18, the great commission of Jesus that commanded? And Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and I will be with you to the end of the age. You see, if the world doesn't need Jesus, why did God send his son? If the world didn't need Jesus, why would God give us this great commission? If the world didn't need Jesus, then what's all this adoption stuff about? There are so many other texts from the Old and New Testament that I could go on and on with. Maybe God knew the world does indeed need Jesus, whom God gave to us sacrificially, so that we could have life and hope for the future. Maybe God has known through history and saw the future of the world to this present time and even farther, that a world without Jesus would end up worse than what we see now. In such a time as this, this text from Ephesians begins to make sense again. If we are going to reach the next generation, and that means the people that are right behind us, I love the little ones, but the next generation behind us are the 30 to 40 year olds. Whatever God form that God tells us as a congregation, a faithful congregation that you are, how are we going to reach them? We need to be in the world and witness why God is important, whether that's in your family, whether that's in your jobs, whether that's in your community, the person next door to you. The protests that we see around the country and the world today, you see, justice is not going to the protests by standing up and saying, no! Justice is saying, I don't believe that. I don't do things like that. This is wrong. I don't participate in that. That's justice. And standing strong in knowing who you are as children of God. God is with you. I will be with you till the end of the age when you do that. By participating and saying, you know, I don't believe that. Maybe parents need a night out of dancing. You know, I heard we do some dancing here at this church. Maybe parents need a night out of dancing while we watch the kiddos downstairs so they can dance. I don't know. Maybe we need to have an after-school program for free that they can, for working parents, just so they can come and play and laugh. Maybe we need to have a special service or a special something program, I don't know, that helps parents understand what godly values are and be strong in the faith and stand by them for their children. Whatever we decide to do, the one thing every one of us can do is to encourage. You know, do you know any parents around you? Encourage them. Encourage them. Love them. Help them to do the most difficult job and the most important job in this world, which is parenting. I believe the world does need Jesus and the encouragement of God's deep abiding love and the empowerment that they will need and we need in the Spirit to meet the challenges of today. The church is an identifiable new family. It has borders even as it stretches out into the world, and we must not forget that. It has values. It has a mission that must be completed. The mission is the opposite, you see, of what institutions are teaching. The mission of love and justice, sharing God's grace for all. It has our Creator at the center of our lives and the Spirit of Christ leading the way. And it's bigger than what we normally call family, for it's made up of all kinds of diverse people who follow Jesus and obey his teachings, yet are one in Christ. It's a house that Christ is at the cornerstone, the stone upon which the whole house is built, that foundation upon which everything else rests. We know who we are. That stone, which is not like the capital stone, cornerstone that they never found, which could be, I don't know, maybe that's a metaphor of some sort in and of itself. I don't know. But whatever happens in Washington is not something that we put our faith in. However, the Christ cornerstone is immovable, unshakable. It will not be lost. I don't know any other book that claims the cornerstone is Jesus except the Bible. And is the foundation of our lives and our children's lives. I hope you take comfort in that. Too often we are guilty of presenting a gospel as something that we have to do or decide. You know, listen, that makes it hard for people when we think, oh, I have to do something to help them decide. But listen to how we talk when I gave my life to Jesus, or when I asked Jesus to come into my heart. It's not about me, myself, or an I. No, the book of Ephesians speaks in a passive tense, and God's voice is active. It is God, you see, who called us here. God who made a decision for us. God has built us into the parts of this new household. God has broken down the walls of division between men and women, races, ages, and social classes. And if you are here today or listening online, something drew you here. Whether you are a follower of Jesus Christ or a seeker, it's because the Spirit has called you. And I say this to comfort you. Let me be the first to say that my relationship with Christ is not just how I feel or what I do or what I say, but it is what God has done, because thank goodness for that. There's many days I wouldn't show up. That's truth. There go I, but by the grace of God. The universal church is a means to God's grace and glory and love. With Christ as our cornerstone, we are a new people, a visible building for the world to see that Jesus makes life new, whether online or in a building or next door. Christ, as the cornerstone, remains and gives us the instructions we need for life, with the values that we cherish of love and grace and forgiveness and patience and self-control. I hope that whoever shared that Facebook post is listening today. I strongly disagree that only Christians need Jesus. The whole world does, and always has. Call me an old-time Baptist if you want to, but I believe it can be no other way. Amen.